Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 36. The glory of the Lord Jesus as King and Head of the Body of Christ or the Church of Christ. Topic: L. Christ said, I will build my church, and not what human beings call as the Church of Christ or God. In the various previous topics regarding the present chapter on the glory of Christ as the head of his body, we saw that all the edification that the Lord accomplishes in the life of a person who is linked to him through faith in God also means, automatically, building his church. Since the church of the Lord is made up of the members of the body of Christ, and the members of the body of Christ are the people who have Christ as the Lord and head of their lives, every growth that God carries out in these lives is also a work of building the Church of Christ. Nevertheless, the text that most likely contains direct words from the Lord Jesus Christ in a specific way about the term church applied to the Lord's church is the text presented below. Matthew 16:13-19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The text above is of great and essential richness because, in it, the Lord Jesus Christ himself enlightens us, in a few words, several crucial aspects about building up the Church of God. In the text above, first, we find the Lord Jesus defining the foundation on which he builds and will build his church. Secondly, we find the Lord Jesus Christ defining to whom his church belongs. And thirdly, we can also know concerning which church or churches the Lord Jesus Christ did not commit himself to build. If a person looked at the text above only from verse 20 or with no due attention, one could even come to think that Christ was referring to Peter as the foundation of the church. However, when we see the whole context related to the question initiated about who says the people that the Son of Man is, we see that the high or central point of the context is the revelation that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, showing us that the great foundation on which Christ will build his church is what is contained in the revelation about Christ himself, and never on Peter. If we still look at the above text from the translation into other languages and also see the meaning of the words Peter and rock used in it, we can see that the meaning of the name Peter is a little stone and that the word rock refers to a big or huge rock, a rock that can be used as the foundation of an enormous building. Therefore, after the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter that God had granted him a revelation from heaven and not reached by flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus also reaffirmed that Peter was a small stone, but that the church of the Lord would be built on the great revelation or rock that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When God revealed to Peter that the Lord Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God upon whom the church of the Lord would be built, God was revealing that although Jesus was before his disciples as the Son of Man, Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God, was not a little stone like Peter, but he was a rock capable of supporting the whole Church of God that would come to be built on the Lord Jesus throughout all centuries to come. Here, however, considering that we have already seen several times the aspect that Christ is the foundation of everyone who believes in him, we do not intend to expand this aspect on this point except to highlight it once again also concerning the building up of the Church of Christ. Thus, as the word Christ means the anointed, it is on the anointed of God, the only one worthy of receiving this name, that the Church of the Lord is built. Moving now to the second aspect mentioned above, we can see that the fact that the Church of Christ is built on the rock of our salvation and the rock of our refuge also characterizes the Church of the Lord as being the Church of Christ and which he calls my Church. The Lord Jesus Christ declared directly and objectively that the building up of the Church that he promised to build is related only to his Church, which also answers the third aspect mentioned above. The Church that the Lord Jesus Christ has declared to be committed to edifying is his Church, which, in turn, is characterized as the one that has Christ, the Son of God, as its foundation and that has the same Christ as its only head. But what also shows that Christ did not commit himself to build those churches that are not his. To say that Christ is going to build his church on the rock that he is the Christ and the Son of God who sustains the whole church implies, then, that any text that speaks of the Lord's commitment to building his church is restricted to people, but it is also restricted to people who are grounded in Christ and who individually have the Son of God as the only head of their lives. After we accept to be the body of Christ, individual members of this body, to have Christ as the head of the body and personal life, to carry only the name of Christ over his church, and to detach ourselves from the subflags of churches of men or women, Christ edifies us because in this way we are his. And once we are his church which he builds because we are grounded in him and under his guidance. Once someone is grounded in Christ and not in other human beings or idols, and once someone has Christ as head and no longer has aspects of the creation as the head of one's life, Christ has committed himself to edify that individual who is his church. If someone is not grounded in the Lord Jesus and if someone is not connected to the heavenly head of the unique body of Christ, that individual cannot be built up as the Church of Christ or as the Church that the Lord calls my Church because this individual is not, in fact, of the Church of Christ also to be built up as being part of it. When Christ said that he would build his Church on the rock that he himself is the Christ, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ defined the exact place where he would build his Church, but he also defined, by exception, all other places where he would not build his church. Many people claim to be scandalized by the problems they see in the so-called churches of Christ, but they often do not realize that what they call a church of Christ is neither the church of the Lord indeed nor the church that Christ calls mine. There are many churches that in the sense of the word ecclesia are really churches, but not the church of Christ. They are churches that are not the body of Christ, but they are bodies or groups of people in which men and women are at the head of their churches and who destroy the paths of life of those who follow them. And since they are not on the exclusive rock on which Christ builds his church, those in the churches where other people are at the head are also not built as the church in Christ. In the world, there are many churches that have their pastors, prophets, or priests, but that also, at the same time, deceive the people by not being on Christ and subject to Christ, not being, therefore, the Church of Christ. And if any church is not the Church of Christ, its ministers, whether they call themselves apostles, teachers, guides, and so on, are also not ministers, servants, or stewards of Christ or the true Church of Christ. Romans 16:17-18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. If the members of a body are under mediators or heads that are not the Lord Jesus himself, how can Christ be the exclusive head of their lives and guide them according to the will of God since these members are seeking to hear more than one mediator or head at the same time? Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Romans 8:9-12-14. But you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Christ has declared his commitment to edifying those who are his, but for this, those who are his are also called, above all, to have a heart surrendered and faithful to the Lord that they have chosen for their lives. Colossians 3, 23-24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And after Christians are in Christ and follow Christ as the head of their lives, they are also able to relate appropriately to other Christians. A subject addressed more specifically in the series on the life of the Christian in the world. However, without the support, instruction, and edification of Christ in their lives, the words "for without me you can do nothing" spoken by the Lord also apply to the fellowship between the members of the body of Christ. The fundamental place of edification and growth to which and under which a Christian is called to be is always the source of all his Christian life. It is the source that builds and sustains the eternal church rooted in God's eternal love, namely, in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Ephesians 4:15-16. But, speaking, or following, the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.